Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this day that we do set apart to worship you. And I pray that we would be attentive to your Spirit, that the words that we hear are not James, but the powerful word you have offered to us throughout all generations. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this word. We pray that we would listen and hear and put into practice your teaching. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you haven't been with us for some time, or if you're visiting, we've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. For the last 4 weeks, we've been looking at Jesus' teaching regarding righteousness. How many here are righteous? How many here want to be righteous? There's some good responses there. If you remember, Jesus says, unless our righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, we will surely not enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, if you've been here, we've already looked at what Jesus has to say regarding hatred, lust, divorce. I have never had such a wonderful time conveying God's word as the last 3 times. I'm really glad for the little break last week. But we have discovered, working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, that God's word calls us to a higher standard of righteousness than does the letter of the law. And that truth is no less true today in what we're going to be looking at in Matthew chapter 5 at verse 33. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, it's just, I think, 6 verses. Jesus says, again, you have heard it was said to people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear on an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. At some point in our lives, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to come to understand that whether we know it or not, we represent Jesus Christ to everyone we meet. The Bible refers to us as Christ's ambassadors, one who goes before another. It's been said that we may be the only Bible someone may read. So what do people that cross our path see when they look at how we live our life? What do we reflect? And do we reflect it well? And I mean, do we reflect Christ? Or do we reflect the world? Because I will tell you from my own experience, it's very easy for me to be Christian here. But in the world, it's really easy to be a chameleon. You just blend in. One of the sad truths of our time is what we see in the media. Those things that once held integrity are falling apart. It is fast becoming more and more difficult to train our children in the way they should go when what had been trusted as wholesome child programming on public television and Christian magazines for youth promote worldly views and agendas. Well-known Christian songwriters and preachers have had very public failings of integrity. And what Jesus has been preaching, we see in the public eye. They've cheated on their spouses. Some scheme and take advantage of other people to get ahead in life. And then when you confront them, they get angry about it. The world has seen it. And people have taken notice and they become jaded against Christianity because they recognize Christians claiming to live by a higher standard. But they don't always live it. If we're going to be men and women of integrity, Jesus has got to be the standard. If Jesus was standing here today and he asked us to take a little integrity test to see how we measure up, how would we respond to questions like, have you ever exaggerated a story in order to make yourself look a little bit better? Have you ever lied to cover up your sin? Have you ever been less than completely honest when you do your taxes? Have you stretched the truth in order to avoid trouble? Have you ever broken a promise that you've made? By a show of hands, how many could answer yes to any one of those questions? Yeah, this is a good congregation. It really is. Do you realize that if you can answer yes to just one of those questions, you failed the integrity test? And if you don't have your hand up, you need to put it up because you have just failed that test. If your hand isn't already up, you failed that test right here and now because you're lying. Listen to what the Bible has to say in Proverbs 12:22. These are not my words. It is the truth. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Are you one who God delights in? Are you one in whom he takes pleasure because you're trustworthy and there's no deceit in you? We need to be men and women of integrity because there is no doubt that people are watching. The people in your life will judge the validity of your faith that you claim by what they see in your life. How well do your actions go hand in hand with what you say you believe? You got to understand, I preached to myself this week this message. It's not easy to listen to. These are pointed questions that can hurt. What is true today was just as true in Jesus' day as well. Commentaries tell us that the Pharisees had a whole intricate system that they had worked out to help them determine which vows were valid and which could be cast away. They took their vows, they made their oaths in order to prove their sincerity. But at the same time, they were always looking for a little loophole that would enable them to turn their back on what they had vowed to do. It would seem the closer to God that which they swore was, the more binding the oath. And any oath taken in God's name was absolutely binding. You ever heard that statement? My word is my bond. Jesus calls them on the carpet for this very thing in Matthew 23. He says to them, woe to you, blind guides. Explanation point. You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools. Explanation point. Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men! Explanation point. Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Now think of this for a second. People today do a similar thing. Remember when we were a child and you really wanted someone to believe what you were were saying, what would we say? Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye, I'm telling you the truth. Maybe you think that pinky promise, because, well, you can't break a pinky promise, right? All right, maybe you can. We say these things because we want our friends to know just how serious we are about what we're promising. You want them to believe you. And as adults, we swear by things that might be a little different. You might have heard it said, I swear on my mother's grave. Or, God is my witness. I don't know if they still do it. But it used to be that when you gave your testimony in the court of law, you put your hand on one Bible, you lifted your hand in the air, and you said, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God. We take oaths to prove our sincerity to others. And Jesus says that if we're living with integrity, an oath isn't needed at all, because people will know that your yes means yes and your no means no. When we give our word, we are making a commitment. We're bound to see it through whether we've sworn by anything or not. That's a man of integrity, man or woman of integrity. James 5:12 says, above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you'll be condemned. I've said it before, people are watching. And if our lack of integrity is so obvious that we need to swear by something in order to be believed by others, our character has already fallen short. How often have you been in a conversation with someone who says, I'm not lying, that's how it was. Maybe it wasn't. Why would you have to put that tag at the end of your statement? God wants us to be people of integrity, and He takes our word seriously. How seriously? You familiar with two people in the Bible, Ananias and Sapphira? I mean, that right there proves that statement to be true. God, if no one else is watching. This couple sold some land, gave part of the money to the church, and there is nothing wrong with that. The land was theirs to do with whatever they wanted, and after they sold it, the money could have been spent however their little hearts desired. But when they asked if they had given everything to the church, they said yes, when the truth was no. It kind of struck them down. We could say, well, they exaggerated this story to make themselves look a little better in the eyes of their fellow believers. And the Bible makes it a little more clear. They lied. And not just the people, they lied to God Himself. You should read the account in Acts 5. At verse 11, this is what we read. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about the events. You just heard about the events. You lie in God's eyes and He'll strike you dead. I'm never going to lie again. I think the people paid attention to this. And so should we. Watch our words carefully. Our integrity speaks to our character. And our character speaks to our reputation. If we're going to be people of integrity, what we do must come in line with what we say. And what we say must line up with what we believe. And what we believe must line up with truth. The truth of God's word. Integrity is keeping our word and fulfilling our commitment. Lack of integrity calls into question our character, but more than that, it dishonors God. Maybe this morning you've become a little aware that you might be lacking in integrity. Maybe there's a gap between you in your word, in your deeds, with your faith, in your daily life. And maybe the question on your mind is, what do I do now? Where can I turn? And to that I say, to God's word. Begin by remembering who your Father is. The Bible tells us in John 8:44, Satan is the father of lies. If his lips are moving, he's lying. But if you have been delivered from sin through faith in Jesus Christ, you have a heavenly Father in God. Go to him. Confess that you've fallen short, that your yes isn't a yes, and your no isn't a no. Maybe you're not a man of your word. He knows where you are. We just sang about it. Come to him. Ask him to help you put your life in order so you can purpose your time, so you can serve to the capacities that he calls you to. Spend time in God's word, discovering the person that you can be. Seek to see the world from God's perspective. Ask him to help you order your day so that you can be all that delights him. To be trustworthy. To have integrity. Avoid giving your word carelessly. Give careful attention and thought and consideration as to whether you will be able to and are willing to fulfill the commitments you're about to make. Wouldn't it be better to say, no, I can't, than to say yes, and you don't? If you're like me, write your commitments down, because I'm prone to forget. And you're human, so you're probably prone to forget too. Character is built one step at a time. A reputation is realized with a consistent witness of one small thing after another. And you find that if we're faithful in the small things, we'll be faithful in the big things as well. And people will see it. For a moment, listen to the insight we gain from Psalm 15:1-5. Psalm 15:1-5. David begins by asking two questions. Lord, who may dwell in the sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? And then he answers with these words. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things, listen, whoever does these things will not be shaken. You ever live a lie? It is so hard to keep your lives in order, to try and keep everything. Why not speak the truth? I believe what David is saying is those who walk in this life with integrity will delight the heart of God. They will not be shaken by the deceit and the sin that those who choose to walk without integrity become entangled in. It's a mess when we're trying to live a lie. From this day forward, let our reputation be such that we don't need to swear by anything to be believed, but let our yes be yes and our no be no. It's that simple. And that's how Jesus preaches. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that we would hide it in our heart. I thank you for life experiences, both good and bad, that train us in the way we should go. I thank you that the truth is, temptation is not from you. Testing is. So, Father, continue to send the tests that we would bring delight to you. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.